Hey, early risers. How you guys doing? Welcome. So glad you're here this weekend. I want to welcome those of you online as well. If you happen to be a guest, either online or in person, let me introduce myself. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here at the Vineyard, and this is my wife, Thora Anderson. She's also a pastor here. We're going to be teaching together this morning. I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Hey, we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 2. So if you have a Bible, you have an app, open it up to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to be in verse 7 to begin with in just a moment. Before we do that, though, I want to show you a short video of a little bit of our last water baptism, which is a few weeks ago. So let's go ahead and run that video. Then nothing can stand against, and I choose to praise, to glorify the name of our names. Nothing can stand against, oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I will. Hey, congratulations to those of you that were water baptized a few weeks ago. You know, that's an important step in your spiritual life. And if you're a follower of Jesus, whether you're online or in person, and for whatever reason, you've never been water baptized, that's an important next step for you. And we have another opportunity coming up in 3 weeks. All you ought to do to be water baptized here is we want to make sure you understand what the Bible actually teaches about water baptism before you're baptized. So you can take our water baptism class online, vineyardnorthphoenix.com, sign up to be water baptized, and we would love to be celebrating your water baptism in 3 weeks from today. You know, when you and I give financially back to God through our church, one of the things that God miraculously does with our money is he uses it to change people's lives. We just saw a little snapshot of that, of water baptisms, people following Jesus into obeying him in water baptism. And God does those kinds of things here at the Vineyard all the time, and he uses our money to do it. I just want to remind you, when you give, when I give back to God through our church, it really, really matters, and God uses it to change people's lives. Thank you for your generous giving and your faithful giving. We're going to pause for a moment, pray and ask God to bless the offerings and the tithes as we receive those. In fact, if the ushers want to come forward. But most of all in prayer, what I'd like us to do is open our hearts and minds to God and just say, hey, God, would you speak into my heart and mind whatever I need to hear from you this morning through the Bible. Okay, would you pray with me? Lord, thank you as we give back to you that you do use our money, God, to change people's lives. We thank you that you're transforming ordinary people into extraordinary followers of Christ all the time here at the Vineyard. And we know that one of the ways you do that is through our finances. So as we give, Lord, whenever we give, bless our finances and bless us just in being faithful to you, Lord, with our finances. And now, God, as we dive into the scripture, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak very clearly to every single person who's online, every person in this room, whatever they need to hear from you, Lord. I pray that you would empower me, you would empower Thora, so that we would be communicating the things that you want to communicate to each and every person, so you would be able to have your way in every person's life. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, how many of you have noticed that men and women are different? Anybody ever noticed that? Raise your hand. Men and women are different. You know, that truth has actually caused so many problems in relationships, all kinds of male-female relationships, for centuries. But the truth is, God has designed men and women differently on purpose. He's done it on purpose. Say those two words. On purpose. God has made us differently on purpose. And he's done that for all relationships, but God has especially done that on purpose for the marriage relationship. By a show of hands, how many of you are married? Anybody in the room married? Raise your hand. Now, if you're going to have the type of marriage that God wants you to have, you have to understand your differences between the two of you, and not only understand them, you have to begin to appreciate them. But it's not easy to understand these differences and appreciate these differences between men and women, is it? You know, sort of like the guy who was on the beach and he was digging in the sand and he all of a sudden came upon a bottle. It was buried in the sand. And so he got it and he thought, well, I'll just clean this up. So he started rubbing the bottle, and as you can imagine, a genie comes out of the bottle. And the genie says, I will give you one wish, anything you want. So the guy thinks about it for a few minutes and takes out his phone, pulls up a map of the Middle East. He says, what I'd really like is I'd like for there to be peace in the Middle East. Genie says, that's impossible. I'm sorry, I can't do that. But I'll do anything else you ask. I just can't do that. Guy says, okay, give me the ability to really understand the differences between men and women. Genie says, let me take a look at that map again. So the first point I want to make is that God made men and women differently on purpose. It wasn't a mistake. He did it on purpose, and he did it for our good. In fact, I want you to know that God used different Hebrew words to describe how he made Adam and Eve. You might know that the Old Testament originally was written in Hebrew. We've translated it, obviously, into English, but sometimes it's helpful to go back and look at the original meanings of the original Hebrew words. I had to turn to Genesis 2, verse 7, and it says this, then the Lord God formed man, underline form man, of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now that word formed there in the Hebrew is the word yatsar, and it means to mold or to squeeze into shape as a potter does. That is how God created man. Now I want to show you how God created woman in Genesis 2:22. And the Lord God fashioned, underline fashioned, into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. Now the Hebrew word panah, fashion, means to be skillfully formed. God made men and women differently on purpose. You know, sort of like the old story, you probably heard it before, but Adam was walking in the Garden of Eden one day, he's feeling sort of lonely, and so God said to Adam, Adam, what's wrong? Adam said, I don't have anybody to talk to. So God said, okay, I'm gonna create a companion for you, and this companion will be called woman. And God said to Adam, this person will cook for you, and she will wash your clothes. She will always agree with every single decision you make. She will bear your children, and she will never ask you to get up in the middle of the night and help with them. Adam, she will never nag you. And she will always be the first to admit that she's wrong whenever you two have a disagreement. And best of all, Adam, she will never have a headache. And she will freely give you love and passion whenever you need it. Adam said to God, this is amazing. What will a woman like this cost? God said, an arm and a leg. Adam said, what can I get for a rib? And the rest is history, right? Now, why did I point out the fact that God formed Adam, and yet he fashioned Eve? Because God would have not used two different Hebrew words if he would have created man and woman the same way. See, he created us differently on purpose. He wanted men and women to be different. He wanted them to complement one another. You know, even in the New Testament, God talks about wanting us to understand each other. Look at 1 Peter 3. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. See, God wants us to understand how we are different from one another and how those differences are actually for our benefit. God wants us to appreciate our differences instead of fighting against them.
Society seems to be telling us more and more all the time that we're supposed to be so equal that we can forget it's okay to be different. You know, the Bible says men and women have equal value, but we are unique in the way God made us. So some differences you may not know. First of all, in differences in men and women are physical differences. Not that you could not already tell, but we differ in actually every cell of our bodies because each sex carries a unique chromosomal pattern. Females have two X chromosomes in every cell. Males have an X and a Y in every cell. Sex-based differences in brain structure and physiology result from this. And most of the research that I read was from Stanford. One article stated this: there is a growing pile of evidence that there are inherent differences in how men's and women's brains are wired and how they work. Okay, I could have saved them thousands of research dollars, but anyway, here are a few differences you may not know. Men typically have stronger spatial abilities, shown in babies as young as 5 months old, like the ability to mentally rotate an object. For women, the two sections of the brain responsible for language were found to be larger than in men's, indicating one reason women typically excel at language-based subjects. Men's brains were larger in physical size, but the research said that did not affect intelligence. Okay, that's true. We're going to put a picture on the screen of men's and women's brains at rest. It's a real picture of imaging. This is a real picture. But as you can see, there's a difference. And the first thing that came to my mind when I saw that picture is, this is us when we're watching TV. Brian is watching the show. I'm watching the show. I'm scrolling through my phone. I have a magazine, and I'm answering one of the kids, right? Differences in men and women. I found this interesting. Because of the way men and women use the two hemispheres of the brain differently, men are more susceptible to things like dyslexia, autism, ADHD, and Tourette's. Women are more susceptible to mood disorders like depression and anxiety, again, because of the way the brain works. Men and women are definitely different physically. A second difference in men and women is emotions, hormones, and health. I've found if you want to clear out a mixed group, start talking about PMS, menopause, hysterectomies. Most of the men don't stick around. They just leave the circle. Hormones also affect our reactions to stress. And because of the way estrogen and testosterone affect the body during stress, most men tend to have a fight or flight response to stressful situations, while most women tend to have a tend and befriend strategy to stressful situations. And over the past few decades, you've read the articles as well, I'm sure. They have uncovered countless ways in which men and women's bodies react differently to diseases, you know, heart disease, strokes, and so on. A third difference between men and women: goal-oriented versus relationship-oriented. Now, I'm speaking somewhat in generalities here, but many men tend to be more goal-oriented, and women tend to be more relationship-driven. In studies of children at play, researchers found boys' games lasted longer than girls' games. Why? Because a dispute would break out during the game and the boys would make up rules and there would be a winner. If a dispute broke out in the girls' games, they stopped the game. Why? Because the relationships were more important than the game. Most women are more sensitive to things like hugs, tone of voice, feelings, expressions. And if you'll notice how oftentimes in a group you'll ask men and women to introduce themselves, explain who they are. Many women explain who they are in terms of their relationships. It's like, hi, I'm Judy, I'm married to Carlos, we have two adorable children, Nick and Vanessa, and my parents live back in Michigan. Here's a man like, my name's Terrence and I work at Honeywell. It's often true. Another difference between men and women is that women crave intimacy. Here's the deal. Intimacy does not mean sex to a woman. We'll have to cover that topic in another talk. But it is one reason women so often need and want female friends. It's that relationship thing. I mean, I'm still friends with my best friend from kindergarten, Stacy Stewart. And I like doing things with female friends. You know, women are even more relationship-driven when eating out, because a lot of men will approach food like, let's eat out, it's fast, it's easy, I don't have to clean this up. But many women will approach it like, this is an opportunity to nurture relationships, linger over conversation. All right, another difference, friends, face-to-face versus side-by-side. Even as children at play, most girls play face-to-face. They sit on the bed and talk. They have tea parties. They play with their dolls together. And as adults, I mean, they're going to do sports and things too, but they'll have a protein drink afterwards and talk for a while. Boys are playing cars, sports, hunting, video games. These things you're doing side by side. And many men do things still side by side, sports, hunting, video games, things like that. Years ago, when Brian used to play basketball with some guys from the church, I remember one time he came home and I said, what did you guys talk about? He said, we played basketball. I'm like, yeah, but what did you talk about? Thor, we didn't talk, we played basketball. I'm thinking, what a waste, man. He didn't find out anything? As a caution, women tend to be closer, but they can also be crueler. And I think of Proverbs 21:9, which says, it is better to live in the corner of a rooftop than in a house with a contentious woman. That verse had always bothered me, and I've always thought, why does it say woman? I honestly think the author probably had little girls, right? Because little girls can be pretty mean, you know, or sororities and gossip and notes. I have a daughter who's a freshman in college, and I can attest to the fact that little girls can be pretty mean to each other. Little girls draw circles. There's a dark side to the friendships of women. And anecdotally, I taught high school for 8 years, and some girls, if you reprimanded them at the beginning of the school year, it was like they hated you the rest of the year. Most of the guys would blow it off. I know that's anecdotal. That was my experience. But little girls like to, again, draw circles, and they'll write notes to each other. Let's be best friends and both not like Kate together. You know, we're not going to let Susan sit at our lunch table anymore. It's unfortunate, but it is a bit true. Many of you that have daughters have experienced that. And then let's look at a couple of other miscellaneous differences between the sexes. The question, who am I and how did I get this way, does not seem to interest both sexes equally. The next time you're in Barnes & Noble, look at the number of books about women. Women seem to like to read books about what it's like to be a woman. Here's some titles I saw the last time. The Book of Moods. The Book of Awesome Women. Text so good he can't ignore. Yeah. Never chase men again. And he's not that interested, he's just passing time. There were very few books like this aimed at men. Do you know why? Men won't read books like this. The publishers would go out of business. But you know where I usually do see men at Barnes & Noble is the magazine section, where there are colorful pictures on the front of sports figures and women and cars that they can mentally rotate in their minds. So I'm exaggerating a little bit. Another difference, movies. Men and women typically like different types of movies. Have you seen that? I mean, there is a reason. There's a genre called chick flicks. It's not because most guys are dying to see the movie. And if you're like Brian, he likes action movies. So a while back, we're watching this movie at home. It was kind of a period movie, a little bit on the chick flick side. And he leans back and says, "Somebody better get killed really soon." Because this movie is so boring. You know, that's your pastor right there. We're watching another action movie later, and our daughter always says, "Dad, this is your kind of movie. A lot of people get killed and they're blown up here." All right. Here's another anecdotal difference between men and women that we found out talking to each other one day. It's bathrooms and toilet paper, okay? I was telling Brian one time how I was in the bathroom and the woman in the partition next to me asked me for toilet paper under the stall. And Brian said, "Women do that? They like talk in the restroom or would ask for toilet paper?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He said, "Men would never do that." I'm like, "Why?" But for a show of hands, how many of you women have either asked or been asked by another woman to go to the restroom with you? Okay, most of the women in here. How about the men? You don't usually hear guys say, "Hey, let's go to the bathroom and stand in urinals next to each other for a while."
When Thora talked about that with our kids, were in the room, and my daughter says, who's a freshman in college, she says, "So," I said, "we would never do that." And she said, "Well, why not? What would you do, Dad, if you ran out of toilet paper and, you know, you're in the stall?" I said, "Guys would just figure it out. You're not going to ask the person next to you. You're just going to figure it out." So we have a lot of differences, don't we? Men and women. So we have to learn to be patient with one another about our differences, because that's what love is all about. You know, the Apostle Paul says, love is patient and love is kind. And in marriage, God wants us to learn to work together as a team. If you're married, God wants you to be a team with your spouse. He doesn't want you to fight against your spouse. He wants you to, you know, to be a team. And he doesn't want you to try to make your spouse like you. In fact, if both of you are exactly the same, then one of you isn't needed. So God wants us to be constantly encouraging one another in our marriages, supporting each other, building each other up, like the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." And that's obviously God's will for all relationships, to build each other up, to support each other and all that, but especially in marriages. And to do that in a marriage and to do that in any relationship, really, it takes daily choices where you say to yourself, "I'm not going to try to make my spouse like me. Instead, I'm going to choose to build him up. I'm going to choose to build her up and bless the way that God has designed them to be." See, that's part of what love is all about. Now, another thing it's important for you to know that the Bible points out is that because of our unique differences between men and women, God even spoke differently to Adam and Eve. Why did God speak differently to Adam than he spoke to Eve? Because men and women are created in such a way that we have different communication styles. God took that into account in how he spoke to both Adam and Eve after they both ate from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' Now, the Hebrew word for said to him, means to call out. It means to address by name. It's very direct. Where are you? God said to Adam. Now, why does God speak that way to Adam? Because most men communicate in a way that is direct and to the point. And studies also show that most men think through an issue before they speak. Most men don't usually like to talk about something until they've had some time to think about it, to contemplate it, to mull it over. You know, Thor and I will be talking and she'll tell me something sometimes and then she'll ask, well, Brian, what do you think about that? And sometimes I just say, you know, I don't know what I think about that. I haven't had time to think about it long enough to know what I think about it. But see, the problem is that's not the way that most women communicate. No, most women like to talk through an issue. And that helps them begin to understand what they really think about it. And that can be frustrating in a marriage. So we have to understand the different ways that we communicate and take that into consideration. And another thing I want you to know about communication styles is that most men like to offer solutions. Most men want to fix the problem. We want to find a solution to this problem. We want to conquer it. That's a big part of the way that men communicate. But most women don't want a simple solution to their problem from their husband. Now, what most women want is they want to be listened to by their husband. They want to be empathized with over the situation. You know, it's sort of like this video. No matter how many times I see that, it cracks me up. You know, early on in our marriage, Thora said to me, she said, you know, I just want to lose some weight. I'm frustrated. I've gained some weight. And so I was Mr. Fix-It. I'm going to, you know, I have a solution. Just go on a diet, Thora. You just need to go on a diet. That was not a good thing to say, all right, guys? So God spoke very directly to Adam, didn't he? Spoke very directly. Now let's look at how God spoke to Eve. Genesis 3:13. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? He doesn't say, where are you, like he did to Adam. Why not? God gives Eve a chance to explain. And that's what most women want in communication. They want sort of a chance to talk about it, a chance to explain. Well, you know, first this happened, and then that happened, and next this happened, and then all this. See, they want to be listened to. So if you're a husband, I want you to know, listening to your wife, empathizing with your wife, is one of the main ways that you love her. You know, Brenda Hunter said, most women talk about things as a means of finding out what they think. In other words, they talk about problems and conflicts in order to sort out their feelings. Most women like to talk about a situation and discuss all the different angles of that particular situation. And then after they're done doing that, they feel a lot better. And that's when they really begin to understand what they actually think about that particular situation or that particular problem. And another thing about the way most women communicate is most women also really like to discuss things and how they made them feel. And men, they want you to discuss that with them also. In fact, you husbands, has your wife ever said something to you like, how did that make you feel? Any husbands ever have their wives say that to them? How did that make you feel? Ladies, you need to know this. Most men have no idea how that made them feel. We are not nearly as in touch with our feelings as most women are. In fact, I found a cute story about how husbands don't seem to meet all the sort of intimacy needs of their wife in the listening department. It goes like this. A guy writes this. He says, Adam, the first man, a noble creature, lived in the Garden of Eden where he was very busy. After naming all the animals, teaching the monkeys the difference between a forward pass and a lateral, and visiting the hardware store hundreds of times, Adam got lonely, probably because ESPN had not been invented yet. When God saw that Adam was lonely, he took action and caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. While Adam was sleeping, Eve arrived from another planet on a spaceship she named Adam's Rib for reasons she never explained. When Adam awoke, there she stood, God's most beautiful and wonderful creation, the first woman. As Adam gazed in rapt wonder, Eve spoke her very first words, "Can we talk?" The musical tones of Eve's voice still resonating thrillingly in his ears, Adam could only reply, "Yes." Eve quickly pulled out the spring 10,000 BC issue of Southern Living, turned to page 49, and showed Adam the floor plan for a four-bedroom traditional home with nursery, sunroom, wraparound veranda, and a two-car garage. "Build me this house, honey," Eve said, and the first romance had begun. That night, as Adam contentedly drifted off to sleep in the arms of his new wife, Eve was moved to probe the depths of her new love and establish a firm foundation of intimacy. She said to Adam, "If I die first, how long will it be before you marry again?" The next day, they went to the mall to buy furniture, and Eve shared with Adam her hopes and dreams about having a great room added onto the back of the house. And that was when Adam first began to suspect that Eve was from another planet. We communicate very differently, don't we?
Another difference we need to understand between the sexes is the average word use per day difference. Many studies say women use between 25,000 and 50,000 words a day, and the studies say men use between 12,500 and 25,000 words a day. So the point is, men use about half as many words a day as women do. So if you're married, or maybe you live with your son, you both get home, he's used up all of his words. Okay, guys, save some of your words for when you get home. I know even early in our marriage, I had more words to use. We're in bed, going to sleep, and I'm still talking. And Brian turned over to me one night and said, "Thora, I'm ready to go to sleep now." I had more words to use. That was the wrong answer. We've tried to figure that out. Speaking of our words, you know how Brian said women like to talk through an issue in order to figure out what they really think. And they even get input from their friends. They invite it. Women often assume men communicate the same way they do, but they don't. And even though women see this input as conversation, most men don't see it that way, because men don't talk through things like women do, and men can often receive input as unsolicited advice, and as a general rule, men don't like unsolicited advice. You know, if you kind of think of it this way, if your phone gives you the wrong directions and you're together somewhere, don't even think about asking the man to pull over and ask for directions. Because what you say is, "Honey, let's pull over and ask that nice man for directions to where you're going." But what he hears is, "I should have known you couldn't find this place. Let's pull over and ask somebody who does know." Okay, the map program in our phones, I think it's saved a lot of marriages. Now, unless, like this one over here, we'll be driving somewhere in Mason, Chandler, and I can tell we're driving around. I'm like, "Did you put the address in your phone?" "Not yet." I'm thinking, why do we have the program? But I have to veer off just to tell a story about MAP programs. So at times, we take a season, and we'll go to a different small group each week, especially if we're in a series, if we show up at your door someday. So anyway, we're in this time, we're going to a different small group every week. We're heading to the small group. I say, did you put the address in your phone? Yes, he put the address in his phone. We show up at this house, there's almost no other cars there. So we go up, we ring the doorbell, and a gentleman answers, and we're both looking at each other like, what has just happened? Because it's a family from our church, but it's not the host of the small group we're going to. So back up a little bit. Brian had also put an address in his phone. This is when our son was a freshman. And our son and a girl from the church were going to go to the homecoming dance together. Brian put that address in his phone. So we show up. This guy is like, why is the pastor at my front door? Like, is he making home visits? He's like, does my wife know you're coming over? So we apologize profusely, get back in the car, go to the correct address for the small group, and tell our kids about this later, and the kids are completely embarrassed that their parents are so crazy that we showed up at the wrong house. So you got to get the right address in your phone, or it doesn't really work. Okay, back to the message. We can't assume the other person communicates the same way we do. We have to make the choice to talk and communicate. And if we don't, we have to don't make the choices to help us communicate, it won't happen. It won't just happen. One thing we do which helps our family communicate is we regularly have dinner together as a family. We sit down, TV's off, phones away, and we talk. We did that for years before we had kids, and we do it with our kids now. And by the time your kids get in high school, you can learn a lot of interesting things, because we'll often share highs and lows, and you find out some very interesting things going on in your kids' lives after they start talking. The bottom line is, to use a man's term, we must make choices to respect each other's differences and learn how the opposite sex relates. And that's true not only for married relationships, but with any relationship you have with someone of the opposite sex. It will take work, but we can all do a better job. As Brian said, men have a tendency to want to be Mr. Fix-It. So men, instead of trying to offer simple solutions, not like, go on a diet then, don't do that. When a woman is telling a story, listen, give some verbal feedback. Occasionally say things like, really? You're kidding. Wow, I'm sorry that happened to you. File those away, okay? See, women give more verbal feedback than men, and that's one reason women like talking to other women. And then on the other hand, women, you may need to start the conversation with something like, I just need you to listen right now and not try to give me a solution. Help them, okay, at the beginning. Also, try sometimes to give men the bottom line answer. They will appreciate it. A lot of men like the bottom line. You know, Brian and I will sometimes ask each other, depending on how much time we have, do you want the whole story or do you want the bottom line? How much time do you have? However, men, when your wife says, how was your day? Come up with a better answer than fine or works, work. You can do better than that, okay? Just tell her what you ate for lunch, who you talk to, what you're working on. Just some simple things. Look at this verse, Proverbs 21:3. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. Pray and ask God to give you understanding, not just to change the person. Don't assume they should just know. They don't know. Their brains are actually wired differently. So make the effort to communicate and understand each other better, because it is so worth it in your relationships.
All right, let's look at this one last verse in 1 Corinthians 13:7. Paul says, love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. You know, it's costly to try and understand and appreciate the differences between men and women. But that's a big part of what love and relationships are all about. Whether we're talking about a marriage relationship or any other, you know, male-female relationship. So I want to encourage you, don't fight against your differences. Embrace them. Because God created them for our good. And for those of you who are married, I want to encourage you to work on your marriage. You might say, well, Brian, how do I work on my marriage? Well, read a marriage book. Maybe read it together. Go to a marriage small group here at the Vineyard, or go to a marriage conference, or go to a marriage retreat. You know, if you don't work on your marriage, it's only going to go south. Marriage is one of those things that you have to constantly work on, no matter how long you've been married. If you don't give it time and attention, it's always going to slide the wrong direction. Work on your marriage. We'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. Let's pray together. Would you bow your head with me, please? Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to every heart, every mind, online and in person. If there's anything that you're trying to point out to us about a relationship we have with someone of the opposite sex that you're wanting us to fix, change, do differently, I pray that you'd bring that to mind right now and give us the grace and the empowering to say yes to you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help all of us begin to not only understand the different ways that you've wired men and women, but to appreciate and embrace those differences. I pray especially for those who are married. I pray that you'd give each spouse greater insight into their spouse and how to be a blessing to their spouse in different ways. And I pray for those marriages that are hurting right now, God. I pray that you'd give them hope that with God anything is possible, and that you'd begin to enter into that marriage relationship and give each one of them the tenacity and to make the right decisions to begin to work on their marriage. You know, maybe there's some other business with God you need to get right now. Just take these last few moments. Maybe you have something going on in your life that you'd like someone to pray for. We would love to pray for you. We'll have a ministry team up here at the front. At the end of the service, I'm going to dismiss the service in just a moment. But if you'd like someone to pray for you, just come to the front, stick around. We'd love to do that. If you're online, you'd like prayer, just click on the prayer button. One of our team members would love to pray for you. And then we're going to continue with this series on relationships for several weeks now. So hopefully it'll be a really learning experience for all of us, and we can improve all of our relationships. Hey, before we go, I want to bless us. So if you would be able to stand right now. And if the ministry team would come to the front. Lord, thank you for all my friends, both online and in person, as they go their separate ways now, Lord, I pray. Bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon them, God, and give them peace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Say hi to some people on your way out. We'll see you soon.